We are looking at true spirituality and freedom from the bondage of sin. So we've talked about basic considerations, biblical unity and true spirituality. We're looking at daily practice, being the fruitful bride. Part of this will include thinking of God as our Father. So this is when you accept Christ as Savior, you are God the Father receives you into a new relationship with Himself. He was always Father to Jesus, but now He becomes your Father. We share a Father with Jesus. You should recognize and count on His fatherliness. You have to imagine a good father, if you didn't have one, that not only provides but chastises and cares for you, knowing your future. So you remember that from the scripture that before salvation, you were in an abusive family where the devil was your spiritual father. He cared nothing about you and was able to use you for whatever his purposes were, usually by deception, thinking that you thought this out and you wanted to do it and it would be for your good interest to hurt others and put yourself first. But that's an abusive father. And Jesus explained this to the Jewish leaders. There's a lot of the liberal thinking has got into some of the songs that we have sung, that God is Father to all humans. He's the creator of all humans. He's just not a father relationship with everybody. Look at John 8, 41 to 44, speaking to the Jewish leaders. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, oh, you claim to have God as your father. Well, let's examine this logically. If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. He says, this wasn't all my idea. See, why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? He says, we are from different families. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. Lusts are harsh desires, strong desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. And the King James translators put in there, meaning he speaks from his own will, he speaks from his own disposition, how he feels disposed to act. This is the speaking in convenience. This is to lie, to color a conversation, to make you think one thing when the truth is another. For he is a liar and the father of it. And these leaders would then lie, especially about the resurrection, if you remember, paying the soldiers to say that the disciples stole the body. Fishermen, disciples stealing from trained Roman soldiers. That's a logical thing. So Christ revealing that these men who seemed to be most holy to the people of Israel were actually of their father, the devil, unsaved. So God is our Father. This also indicates, this being a fruitful bride, is that Christ is our bridegroom. When you accept Christ as your Savior, you're accepted into a new relation with God the Son. And He becomes your vine and your bridegroom. Now, I'm mixing two of the symbols that Christ gives. Both are scriptural, and therefore, when God uses these symbols, He's talking about a spiritual truth that we wouldn't automatically understand. But He's given us examples in life on this planet Earth that are similar enough that we can get the idea. So if you have a plant and there's a trunk, there's a like a tree trunk or a vine that grows from the ground, and then it has branches coming off. And the branches are alive as long as they are attached to the vine. The life sap coming up, living in the vine, gives it to the branch. Borrowed life, as it were. When it's plucked away, then it begins to die. So John 15, 1 and 5. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, the one who fertilizes and clips and so on. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, as long as the branch is attached to the vine, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. You recognize the whole concept that the vine coming off, the branch coming off the vine, shares the life from the root vine. And this is us in him, he in us, sharing that life. And he says, when that happens, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, and the King James margin tells us that this word without means severed, that's, you know, cut from the source vine. You can do nothing. So a very clear picture of this idea. So he says this is what is important for us to understand. Then concerning the bridegroom thing, Ephesians 5, 31, 32, Paul says to the Ephesians, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife. This word joined is a picture almost of gluing something together. The idea, if you were to take like two pieces of cardboard and smear glue on it and put it together and press it down, you could separate it. But normally what happens when you're pulling it apart, one or other of the pieces of cardboard tears apart. And that's what happens with divorce. It's an artificial separating what God has put together, what God has joined. And the two shall be one flesh. Perhaps no picture of being one flesh is any more illustrative than the children that you bear. And people say, well, he has his mother's eyes and his father's ears, whatever, you know. Now he says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. It's a wonderful study to see the Jewish marriage relationship and how that, like Joseph and Mary, when Joseph left his home, came to where Mary lived, and there they were betrothed. This is the symbol of Christ. This symbolizes, it's not a symbol, it's a real thing that they did, but Christ came to this earth where we live, and then made a covenant with us, a covenant pledge, like the betrothal, that took us as his own. And so we become the bride of Christ when we get saved. That he made all the arrangements, made it legal, so we can just accept it. We can say, I do. And we become betrothed, legally his bride. But they don't come together then. He leaves and goes back to his house to build a house for the wife. Christ said, I go to prepare a place for you. You see, the picture is quite similar. And then on an unexpected, usually unexpected time, the bridegroom comes back with his men and says, surprise, I'm here. I hope you're ready. I hope you were watching. I hope you were preparing. And in doing all of that, the watchful people were saying, yes, all ready. And so they load up her goods for the time that was in between the betrothal and the coming. She was preparing for this, putting together her clothing and getting gifts from others and so on, preparing, putting perhaps quilts for the bed and all these things. And so the trunks are loaded, and he takes her to his place. That's pictured in the rapture itself. And we are, our wedding is completed there. There we will actually be have the wedding, the marriage feast of the Lamb, the wedding feast. And there we celebrate the union, and we are taken to him personally. We were united with him legally, but then actually face to face. We see it spoken of in Romans 7:4. Wherefore, my brethren, you are also to become dead to the law by the body of Christ. We were married to the law because we were unsaved. Then you should be married to another. Now, when we died in Christ, that marriage, first marriage, was ended. For it's only unto death, do you, you know, unto all life and unto death do you part. Be married to another. See, pictures here the widow who is now free to marry another. Where if she did that while the husband was alive, then that would be adultery. But it is not adultery when the husband is dead. So even to him who is raised from the dead, we are married to another, even to him that is raised from the dead, Jesus Christ, that we should bring forth fruit unto God, bring forth children, produce fruit of the two together. We actually have a picture given to us, an image of that coming wedding feast. Revelation 19:7-9. Now a voice from God's throne gives an official announcement. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. The judgment seat of Christ, where we receive awards for faithfulness and what all we've done, what we've accomplished, how well we've run the race, that seems to be part of what we get there are the robes of righteousness. This is actually plural there, righteousnesses. And so we are dressed like the angels, dressed like Christ in the gleaming, shining garments. And we present ourselves at that wedding with that. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, or bright, like shining. For the fine linen is the righteousness, that's actually plural, the righteousnesses of saints. So this is not the righteousness of Christ that got us saved. This is the righteousnesses that we have performed. That's the fine linen. And he saith unto me, write this down, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. So you and I got called to the wedding when we became betrothed to him, when we got saved. Now, both of these symbols that he gives to us, both images of the vine and the bride, bring up the prospect of producing fruit. Now, Psalm 107:37, sow the fields, plant the vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. This is the idea of planting, to receive the fruit. Why did God grow us, you see? We are to be producing fruit. John 15:4-5, abide in me and I in you. This is that branch and vine thing. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. This is what true spirituality is, you see. It's not the fleshly spirituality, which is not actually spiritual. That's doing a work in a business model that will produce customers, that will produce whatever, but it's not the work of God. So he says, you can't do this on your own. No more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Without me are severed from me. So in this whole picture, the idea is bringing forth fruit, bear fruit. All right? Now then again, you have the husband-wife situation, Genesis 1:28a. God blessed them, Adam and Eve, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. Genesis 19:1-7, God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, and you Be ye fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. In Psalm 128, verse 3, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine. Here's a combination of the two images. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. So this brings up the question then, true spirituality means we have the opportunity to produce the fruit of the Spirit, which can be imitated by fleshly actions. You can act lovingly, but you don't really produce the love that God wants, the agape love, the God kind of love, the self-sacrificing for God and others type of love. People have said, but everybody loves, you know, parents love their children. If you make the distinction carefully, you will find that the world loves what makes them feel good. You'll hear people from time to time say, love is essentially selfishness. Well, actually, from the biblical point of view, those are opposites, because God kind of love is not self-centered at all, but all other-focused, God and others, self-sacrificing even. Well, the point here is that the world doesn't have that kind of love. They're not equipped with that kind of love. And what we need to understand is that people will have children because that makes them feel good. That pictures them as they would like to be seen, but it's not the kind of dedication you find in Christian people. This is why you'll read from time to time of a mother who has lost her husband one way or the other, and now the man she's starting to date doesn't like children, and she tries to kill them or set them on fire to burn them up, you know. And you say, how could that happen? Well, because she didn't like how it made her feel now, and that was what was keeping her interested in the children, you see. And so other things too that we would consider a dedication, when you understand it from a Christian point of view, self-sacrificing dedication. They do it because they like it. They don't adopt a dog or a cat. They just like kittens, but they could dispose of them at any time, you know. So, be fruitful, multiply. If you're not bringing forth fruit, then what is wrong? If you do not see the fruit of the Spirit in your life, if you are not communicating the Word of God to others to bring forth other Christians into this world, what is wrong? Don't be deceived that it's the church's job to win people to Christ. It's the church's job to get you to the place that you can win people to Christ. Now, we're not opposed to leading people to Christ. We have, you know, evangelistic meetings. We have evangelistic sermons. We have these things. But the main focus of the church is to perfect the saints to the work of the service, to the increasing, the edifying of the body of Christ, the building of people saved. And this means that you, as a mature Christian, ought to be influencing people all around you. People asking you questions. Why do you do this? Why don't you do that? Why do you think this way? Why do you believe that way? And you can give them answers that lead them to Christ. The Perrys often talk about having evangelistic conversations, you see. And you and I, as missionaries here, are to be doing that as well. That's the concept behind this. So what is wrong? Well, two possibilities. One is you're not connected to the vine, meaning you are not united with the Savior, you are unsaved. That would certainly explain it, wouldn't it? You actually aren't even attached to the life-giving flow of the vine. you're not saved. But the other possibility is that you are saved, but you are not receiving the life-producing flow of life and seed. You are not walking in the Spirit. Hebrews 12 tells us that it's possible that you can, as a Christian, you can fail of the grace of God. Almost picturing water flowing through a small creek, but getting debris and stuff piling up and makes its own kind of a dam, builds the water up, and so this little trickle comes in, and finally it dries to nothing. The grace of God is trying to get to you, but you're putting up the corruption that stops it. And now, without the grace of God, for it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do. So you not only are not doing the will of God, you don't even want to, as a Christian, because the grace of God has stopped flowing. And he gives us the three root sins there that will do that: immorality, holding a grudge, and the material possession, obsession with material possessions over spiritual. Those three things automatically combat the work of the Holy Spirit in you and therefore stops the grace of God. All right. As a Christian, you may yield yourselves to God the Spirit because he's within you, prompting you, urging you, or you may yield to your old flesh, the way being unsaved used to thrill you, you see, the things that being unsaved used to thrill you. One or the other, the Spirit of God or the corrupt flesh, will use you as a weapon in the warfare that's being fought. You can be who is on the Lord's side, you know, and here you are thinking you're a soldier of God, but you're actually working for the enemy because you're not yielding yourself to the Spirit, but yielding to the flesh. People imagining that they have right motives, and actually they're fighting for the opposition, become traitors. This passage, 16 to 21, long passage, but let's think through this. Romans 6, 16 to 21. Know ye not, he's kind of amazed that they didn't know this, that to whom you yield yourselves servants, bond slaves, to obey, his servants, his bond slaves, you are to whom you obey. He says, you give yourself as a slave to something, don't be surprised that you have to serve them. You belong to them. They become your master. Whether of sin unto death, are you letting sin as a Christian? You're not automatically in the domination by sin. But you can yield yourself to that. And that leads to death, you see. You give yourself to sin, it leads to death. There's all kinds of deaths, you understand. There's social death, there's mental death. People take drugs, even medically given drugs and so on. But mentally they die. And then there's physical death. Or you can yield yourself to obedience of the Holy Spirit unto righteousness. This is where the truly good works, the things that are approved of God, can be done, the fruit. But God be thanked that ye were, before you got saved, servants, bond slaves of sin. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you, or wherein you were delivered to it. Being then made free, he says, you don't have to obey sin. You don't have to do that. You made free from sin. Ye became the servants, were made bond slaves of righteousness. He says, this is what you need to consider yourself. This is not, shouldn't be considered your choice. Every slave has a choice. But by fact of being a slave, especially if you initiated the work, you ought to be a proper servant. You ought to be willingly submissive, you see, and that of righteousness. Now he says, I speak after the manner of men. I'm using this illustration of slaves and masters and so on because of the infirmity of your flesh, the weakness of your flesh. He says, I'm giving you a practical example here. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity. He says, back when you were unsaved, you yielded yourself this. It implies that there was this impulse to do something, and you thought about it, and then you committed the body parts to the doing of the action of it, and then you committed the sin, you see. So from prompting, thinking, deciding to the doing. He says, you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, to iniquity, unto iniquity. One sin builds another. Even so, he says, the practice that you had giving in to sin through temptation, I want you to do that now with God. Now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. So the prompting comes, I ought to do the right thing, or I ought to not do the wrong thing. So he says, think about it, dwell on it, fantasize about it, and then commit, make that decision, commit yourself to doing what that prompting said, and then commit yourself to the doing of it, actually yield the members to it. For when ye were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness, to our shame. We weren't accomplishing the right things. What fruit had ye then? What fruit did you, how's that working for you? Committing yourself to sin, giving yourself to sin, what kind of life did you have? What kind of family did you have? What kind of moral success did you have? What fruit had ye then in those things where you're now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. So here he's talking to Christians saying you still have that choice even though you got saved. Who do you want to be a slave to? You say, well, I'm not trying to enslave myself. I just indulge. And so, no. You're choosing who will be your master, the final master. For you cannot serve two masters. So you need to decide. So as believers, we are to actively embrace our connection to the vine. We are to put ourselves willingly into the arms of our rightful husband and lover. We are to bring forth his fruit into the physical world. We are warned that, even after we're Christians, we could choose to graft ourselves into another vine or adulterously put ourselves into the arms of a stranger, bring forth corrupt fruit in this world. It's possible because we yield ourselves to the wrong one. We go back to the old abusive master of ours, the devil and Satan. Is it possible for me as a Christian to bring forth the fruit and child of someone other than my rightful vine and lover of my soul? Yes, I may bring forth into this world the fruit of the devil. That's not quite obvious. I was just thinking in the imaginary world of J.R.R. Tolkien, Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit and so on, various races lived alongside the human race. Imagine a married human couple where the wife brings forth a child of the goblin race or of the dwarfish race. The entire world would know she has been unfaithful to her proper mate. Here, honey, here's our baby. Ah, horrible. If I, as a Christian, bring forth the fruit of the devil, it reveals spiritual unfaithfulness. It reveals spiritual adultery in my life. You say, aren't you saying that too strongly? James 4:4. Ye adulterers, he's writing to Christians. You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity, becoming an enemy of God. Whosoever therefore will be the friend of the world is the enemy of God. Spiritual adultery, enemy of God. Not where we want her to go, is it? But we have to marshal ourselves. We have to be good soldiers of the truth. So the word unfaithful takes on a very dark but clear significance. If I do not keep the faith with Christ, I become unfaithful toward him. And let's not do that. Comments, questions here? All right. Following along. I find if I turn my hearing aids down, I speak louder. So I'll turn them back up in case you have something to say. I'm loving hearing aids, by the way, just really like that. All right. And then got it programmed on my phone, so don't have to fiddle with it, don't put my ear. All right, let's stand together then. We'll be dismissed with prayer. I'm sorry, I said stand together. Let's try to get, no. You stand whenever you want. Ready. Father, we thank you for your kindness to us, the opportunity to learn of thee, to, in this lesson, bring forth the fact that you're not expecting us just to drift along until we drift down the stream into heaven. But we are to be the branch attached to the vine producing fruit. We are to be the fruitful wife that's bringing forth the fruit that you expected, fruit of the Spirit in our character and the fruit of other people being won to Christ. Help us then to become active in this, to be fruitful. And we pray it in Jesus' name.